Welcome to the latest edition of Eye on the Nation podcast. Today we'll be discussing trial by jury, a source of freedom or a bad idea. But first, a discussion of recent events. Just yesterday, the Senate approved an online sales tax, and we also learned that Governor Cuomo has used disaster relief funds to fund his campaign ad spots. And in regards to the Benghazi hearing on Wednesday, we've discovered the names of key witnesses that will be testifying at that hearing. And in my neck of the woods, Russian bombers flew over Alaska. I don't believe they truly are a threat. However, I see it as more of a scare tactic.
Sarah Palin stole the show at this weekend's CPAC convention.
She still knows how to fire up the conservative faithful.
She is a superstar, and she's used that to try to help get people elected.
She is fearless. She is principled. She can pick winners.
She's definitely proved that she can be effective endorsing candidates.
Sarah Palin jumped in early and supported Rand Paul. She supported Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, Pat Toomey, Nikki Haley, Deb Fischer, Jeff Flake, and myself.
He's probably going to win this thing thanks to Sarah Palin.
That energy that captured 60 Republican House. A lot of that came from her.
She dominated one more time.
Don't let the big consultants, the big money men, and the big bad media scare you off.
When somebody's going to hold Republicans in Congress accountable, it's going to be Sarah Palin.
They talk about rebranding the GOP instead of restoring the trust of the American people. How about rebuilding the middle class?
Now is the time to furlough the consultants
and tune out the pollsters and the focus groups home and toss the political scripts. Don't let them invalidate you.
She does things differently. She plays by her own rules.
It's time for we the people to break up the cronyism. And that goes for finding candidates. Looking to our communities, our PTAs, our service clubs, small businesses, Tea Party rallies, and city halls. For people who are willing to lead.
She's building the future, saying to the old dogs, your time is absolutely
She up. Doesn't care about the old dogs in the party at all.
We deserve better than the people who call themselves our leaders. But we won't get it unless we're ready to fight. And this is one fight that is worth it.
The power of Palin.
The bottom line is still, she has clout.
So you are trying to mobilize, to get involved, either run themselves or support candidates they like.
And she says the work isn't done yet.
The next election is 20 months away. The last thing we need is Washington, D.C. vetting our candidates.
I would not be in the U.S. Senate today if it were not for Governor Sarah Palin.
Now for our discussion of the trial by jury, a source of freedom or a bad idea. The fully informed jury strategy attempts to wedge the jury process as an obstacle between oppressive law and individual freedom. The strategy is based on the doctrine of jury nullification, by which a juror can reject the law and a jury can refuse to convict a defendant despite instructions from a judge if he believes either that the law is unjust or that its application is unjust. And therefore, the jury renders a verdict on the law itself and not merely on the facts of a case. Efforts to ensure fully informed juries are underway in various states. One well-known state, New Hampshire, a bill, House Bill 1236, was passed by the House in 2011, but deemed inexpedient to legislate by the Senate. And a recent rise in hung juries is seen by some as being indirect evidence that juries have begun to consider the validity or fairness of the laws themselves. In 1997, the Second Circuit ruled that the jurors can be removed if there is evidence that they intend to nullify the law under Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure 23B. Example of that case would be U.S. v. Thomas. Jury nullification has been established in common law since 1670 when an English jury refused to convict William Penn for the crime of preaching Quakerism. In a legal precedent, the English High Court ruled that juries must be free to reach their own decisions without fear of punishment by the court. In 1735, jury nullification was affirmed in America when publisher John Peter Zenger was tried for printing seditious libel without first receiving the government's approval. Since then, the right and power of a jury to de facto overturn a law has been the subject of debate and inconsistent application. Advocates of individual rights tend to embrace jury nullification as a key aspect of trial by jury. An interesting debate on trial by jury erupted in the pages of a key 19th century individualist periodical known as Liberty. The debate did not revolve around the usual controversies such as propriety of subpoena, the so-called right of the state to coerce testimony. Instead, it addressed the propriety of trial by jury itself and thus by necessary implication of jury nullification. The debate raised important questions that should be considered before accepting the strategy of fully informed juries. Now we will discuss what needs to be asked. The first question is how a group of 12 people can claim any right unless an individual has assigned it to them. Can a collective right supersede individual ones? The 16th century classical liberal John Locke believed that the need to protect life, liberty, and the state and society led men to form government. In exchange for protection, men willingly relinquished the right to adjudicate their own disputes, that is, the right to try their own cases in court. Locke also posited a form of tacit consent by which those who had not explicitly agreed were still bound to trial by jury. As long as a man remained in society, he consented to its jurisdiction, including its right to adjudicate disputes. Noted anarchist Stephen Byington objected to jury nullification due to the need for certainty. He referred to laws where it has been reasonably said that certainty is sometimes more important than justice. He maintained that courts in a free society would arise in a free society would be unlikely to adopt a jury system because it was clumsy and expensive. In a free market evolution, the disadvantages of trial by jury would loom large. Its expense, the unpredictability of its verdicts, the problem of dissenting defendants, the widespread tendency toward prejudice. For Byington, trial jury was not a right but a wrong. And now we'll take a short commercial break.
We all stand for something. What are you standing for? Who are you standing for? Today, 27 million people woke up trapped, voiceless, held against their will. Why? Because they're slaves. Children forced into prostitution. Families forced to work in mills and quarries with no hope of escape. 27 million. That's filling up this stadium 270 times. That's more people than Los Angeles. That's more than New York City. If these slaves stood in a row, the line would stretch all the way from Los Angeles to New York and back again. 27 million people, men, women, and children, each with a name, a family, and a story. And each one deserves to be free. For over 15 years, International Justice Mission has been working hard to end slavery. Daring rescues with police, undercover investigations, traffickers behind bars, survivors living with dignity, and communities joining the fight. All in the hopes of bringing freedom to every man, woman, and child who is trapped. But it's going to take more. It's going to take all of us. This March, thousands of students across the nation stand for freedom, and we need you to be one of them, standing for 27 hours for the 27 million slaves. That's 27 hours to wake up your community to this truth. Slavery exists. It is wrong, and we can end it. And we need you to join us. Will you stand for freedom?
And welcome back to the Eye on the Nation podcast, where we've been discussing trial by jury. And in conclusion, trial by jury presents an interesting problem for those who champion individual rights. In one particular instance, a jury may be an effective weapon against oppressive government. In another, it may be a vehicle for unjust prejudices. In both cases, it is necessary to explain how juries derive the right to judge those who object to the process. How does a collective entity rightfully acquire such power over a dissenting individual? This would be the point in time where I would answer any questions that were emailed to me the week prior. However, right now I don't have any questions, but if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email me at eyeonthenation@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at LMLLEASE. That Twitter handle is LMLLEASE. And you can check out my blog at ionthenation.wordpress.com. And just wanted to thank you for checking out my podcast.